Your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I have to the world. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the cross. And Lord, we just pray that you'll open up our hearts that we might understand what you'd have for us tonight. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The cross. When you think of the cross, what do you think of? The place where Christ was crucified. Well, it's not just some wooden structure. It's more than that. It's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of the cross, I think of the whole of his sufferings, the death, all of it, that he died on the cross for me. And Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the glory of the cross. And that word glory means except unto the praise and the honor and thanksgiving of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherein which we boast. You see, the cross is the pivotal point of the Bible. It's all about the cross. If we take the cross out of the Bible, then the Bible is just another book. You see, if we take the cross out of our message of the church, then it's just another organization in which we have. We have to have the cross in our preaching, in our teaching. The Bible says we're to preach the cross. We're to teach the cross. Our service ought to point people to the cross. Everything that our church does should point to the Lord and Savior at the cross. You see, the old hymn, the song, we must exalt Christ, we must lift him up. When I surveyed the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Man, when we talk about the cross of Calvary, it ought to touch our hearts when we think about the cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My sins were there at the cross. Now, I want us to consider three things about the glory, or how we glory, or why we would glory in the cross. First, because the cross of Christ purchased our redemption. It was the purchase place of our redemption. And Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our redemption. What does that mean? Redemption. It means to be purchased. He purchased the price of our lives upon the cross. He paid a debt. The ransom was paid for us. And the questions come up to us many times. Why did Christ redeem? Why did it redeem at the cross? Well, man in his sin was lost in his sin. We're under condemnation. We're sinners. When Adam sinned in the garden, when he disobeyed God, man's sin entered there. Man is under the sin of death. The wages of sin is death. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins, he was buried for our sins, and he rose again. Man in his sin is under condemnation. If we never come to the cross of Calvary, if we never see Jesus Christ as paying the debt for our sin, then we will die in our sin. We will die in our lostness. We're on the road to death, a wide road, the Bible says. Narrow is that gate, and narrow is the road that is to eternal life. The Bible says all have sinned. How precious it is to see a newborn babe. They're just so precious, they're just so cute. But we have to realize that in that babe is that natural, is that sin seed there. And it came from Adam. All who are saved are on the road to heaven. All who are not saved are on the road, the Bible says, to destruction. And Ephesians says it's an awful place. It's an awful place, that place of destruction. And the Christ died on the cross was an awful price to pay. He paid that sin debt for us in Christ. He says we ought to glory because we have redemption. We are bought by His blood. He paid the price. He redeemed us off of that road of destruction by His own precious blood. When we think of the cross, we think of the forgiveness of our sins. When we think of the cross, we think according, it was because the riches of God's grace that we are here tonight. Now, there's one thing that we should know about. There was no provision for any other thing except man. Think about it. The fallen angels, He didn't die for them. He didn't die for the animals. He died for man. He died for you and I. That's the reason He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. He died for me. Oh, that ought to make me want to live for Him. That ought to make me want to praise His name. He died for you and I. And by His death on the cross, the Bible says we can glory in His redemption because it purchased us from a life of sin, of bondage. Now, to whom was this ransom paid? It wasn't Satan, was it? A lot of people will think, well, since we have to be redeemed, we had to, the price was paid to Satan. No. It was God whose laws that we broke. It was God's whose commandments that we disobeyed. It was God who said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And He said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is nothing to wash away that sin debt. I love that old song, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. How great it is to know that His precious blood. No wonder Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus that washes us white as snow. We sing that old song, what shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we should glory in the cross tonight because of redemption that it purchased. When Christ died on the cross, He redeemed us to Himself. Not only that, we should boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ because it changes one positionally. Think about it. I have been changed. And if you've been born again, you have been changed. The Bible says in Ephesians, just a couple of pages over in front of you, let's read in Ephesians chapter 2. And you He made alive. Christ made us, chapter 2, verse 1. Christ made us alive. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, it says, in which you once walked. We walked according to the course of the world. Can you remember before you were saved how lost you were? The Bible says you had no hope. You were under the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil himself, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We were children of disobedience. We belonged to the devil. He was our guide, among whom also we once walked or conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, guess what? Children of wrath. We were lost. We were under the wrath of God, just as the others. Man, we were lost. That was our condition, Paul says to the Ephesians here. But, he says, I love that little word, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead, even when we were lost, even when we were enemies against him, he loved us with such a great love, even when we were dead in our trespasses, and he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up. This is our position. He's raised us up now together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Oh, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, I've been changed. You've been changed positionally. If we're going to boast in the cross, let's boast that, one, we've been redeemed by the cross. He paid the price. And two, that we've been changed positionally. Not no longer a child of wrath, but a child of God. Man, I'm so happy I'm a child of God, aren't you? I'm so glad I'm not no longer walking out there in the darkness, but I've came into that marvelous light. Man, you know, I know there's millions, thousands across the United States tonight that are watching a Super Bowl, and they're putting that before God. They're still lost in the darkness. And I'm saying they can't be saved, you know, and not doing that, but there's millions out there that are lost in the darkness of the devil, without the light of God. I'm so glad I'm not there anymore. I'm so glad that he brought me into that marvelous light, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And praise God, I'm a child of God. I have a home with God. And old death has lost its sting in my life. We don't have to fear death. We've been set free from the bondage in liberty in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, if we ever realized that, man, we'd be on shouting ground all the time. We have been set free. Not only does it change us positionally, it changes us experimentally. When I was saved, I was changed. I can remember how the weight of the world seemed to be on your shoulders. You remember that? The weight of sin was on your shoulders. But the moment you became a born-again believer in God, he gave us a peace with God, a peace that passes all understanding. It was given to my heart and my life, and it seemed like the weight of that sin was lifted. And no longer was I under the bondage and the weight of sin, but I was set free. I felt like the burdens of life have been lifted off of me. And not only that, the Bible says we were changed eternally. When one comes to Christ, the Bible says, you're a new creature. May have the same old outward appearance, but let me tell you something, you really don't. As you study the Word of God, as you read the Word of God, you get a little spring in your step. You get a little glow in your face. You see, one on the road to hell doesn't have a very happy look upon his face. One on the road to hell and destruction, they have no hope. They're lost without Christ. They don't know the forgiveness of sin. But one who has been changed eternally, now he knows the weight of sin is off his shoulders, and he's been given a new life, and he's on the road to everlasting life. He's turned into that gate, that narrow road, and now he's on the road to everlasting life. So we should boast tonight in the cross of God, because it purchased our redemption and it changes our lives. Not only that, we should glory in the cross because of the hope it promises. The hope it promises. Every time I do a funeral, and I know that person is lost, I'm thinking to myself, no hope. No hope for them. No life of victory. Only a life of pain. Only a life of suffering from now all through eternity. They don't cease to live. The Bible says the soul lives forever, one place or the other. They're living in a place called hell, a place called misery. Think about it. When the thief on the cross was dying, he had lost all hope. Man, he was there. He was there because he deserved to be there. He had sinned. He had no hope of living another day of peace in his life. Rest of his life, he would have been tormented in the place called hell. But because of Christ, because of the cross in the middle, the weight of sin was lifted off of him and put on Christ. And Christ said, listen, today you will be with me in paradise. Don't you know that that gave him hope? Don't you know that that freed his life? No more sorrow, no more sin, no more death. The other one on the cross continued on in his sin with no hope. The sin of death was upon him, and the wages of sin meant he would spend an eternity in a place called hell. He's still there today. Oh, what can wash away our sins? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you find Christ tonight, if you find Christ anytime, it'll be by the way of the cross. I love that old song, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." Friends, the cross is that gateway to heaven. I love to hear Billy Graham preach on the cross. Someone once said, no matter where you start, if you'll end up at the cross, you haven't preached bad. Man, just preach the cross. And when it's all over, all of God's people are around the cross. You look over in Revelations and you see the people of God are at the cross and they'll sing a new song. I told Brother Teddy in the choir this morning that "Through" was a beautiful song. But I love that song these four men sang the other day at Miss Mary's funeral, "At the Cross." At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Man, at the cross is where we come to know Jesus Christ in remission of our sin. The redemption paid for us. At the cross is where it changes our lives and produces an eternal life. And the cross is the hope of the promises of God. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which have fallen asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have what? No hope. You have a hope tonight if you're in Jesus Christ. We've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Have you been redeemed? Have you been bought? Have you been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ? If you have not been, on Sunday night we'd think, you know, Sunday night, Super Bowl, only the faithful would be here. Only those who really love God would be here. But by chance, you don't know Jesus Christ tonight. You've never come by the way of the cross. You don't know God in the forgiveness of sins. You've never really been redeemed. And you understand now that the way of the cross produces salvation. The way of the cross redeems us, changes us, and gives us hope. And you want that hope, then tonight you can come to Christ simply by the way of the cross. But God, who is rich in mercy, who loved us so much, he sent his own son to pay the price that he put on us. We must come to the cross. We must be covered with the blood of Jesus Christ if we're ever going to enter into eternity. It redeemed us. It changes us and gives us hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight for the cross of Calvary. Lord, God forbid if we should boast except in the glory of the cross. For it's in your precious name that we should ask these things. Amen.